What a world. You're now listening to Nightmare Radio with East End Zach and Brittany Kristen, the Black Culture aficionado. Bah!
On demand, bags on demand. 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 I need the cash on pronto, nigga, a lottery ticket. I get the best of the bundle, full of the white like it's Iggy. $5 million cash or why low, and we about to get it. We from the north, I'm just saying though. No name on my hitter. Yeah, Freddy Krueger, give him a nightmare. Soon as you close your eyes, nigga, we right there. Yeah, Freddy Krueger, give him a nightmare. Yeah, soon as you close your eyes, nigga, we right there.
Welcome to my nightmare.
All right, the third time's a goddamn.
No, that's right. Welcome to Nightmare Radio Show. Good morning, good afternoon.
No sleep. How you doing? Welcome in. Thank you. All right. You clicked on the podcast.
Could have clicked on any one of them.
Yeah.
Yes, we thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you for coming in.
Sorry, y'all. We kind of rushing it because this is the third time we've attempted to start the show today.
And it's up and it's stuck. And it'll happen again if need be. But, you know, hey, we're just going to get straight to the list because we're dragging it. Will you catch up with us on our personal pages? If you want to know what's going on, follow me at East the Exec.
And follow me at Brittany Kristen.
Yes. And let's get started on the wins and L's and the culture for this week.
All right.
Young Thug and Gunna, they bonded out 30 Atlanta inmates
last weekend.
That's what's up.
So shout out to them. First off, their album Slime Language 2 is number one on the hip hop charts right now.
I haven't listened to it, but I did peep their documentary. They have a little documentary going on, and I peeped it. So shout out to the Slimes.
They are definitely on. They are on for sure. Well, the rappers recorded the video for their single "Paid the Fine" this past weekend. Thug and Gunna went to Fulton County Jail and paid bond for 30 inmates who could not afford their bail. One of the inmates had been in jail for over 3 years awaiting trial because he could not afford the bail. That's crazy. So it really does highlight, you know, the flaws and the problems that we have in the system, because
all these stimmies and then not one family member get that man out of jail.
Nah. And they took a page out of Drake's book, you know, when he did the God's Plan video in 2017. So this was all the footage for the video. They showed the inmates getting out, being reunited with their family. It was cute. Shout out to Jeremy Anderson, friend of the show, an actor, a production guru as well. He was part of the production team for the video.
And this is why we say that Stevenson is what it is.
I'm telling you.
And speaking of, shout out to Stevenson for having 9 NFL players in the National Football League.
Well, not just, I think that, I saw that list, and it's top 10 in the nation. Of course, the other schools are like Florida, California, Texas. Georgia is on the map because of Stevenson. But it's other players. It's more than 9 players that went to the league. Those 9 players count because they went straight from Stevenson to a D1 school into the draft.
Wow.
So Stevenson has sent an undocumented amount of players to the league through other, you know, alternative avenues, like through JUCO or through a D2, D3 school. Some of our alumni have played, you know, in the minor league.
Yes, they have.
And then they went to the pros. But, baby, regardless,
Stevenson is on the map, period. Paint job, Stevenson, the Black and Blue Jaguar. Shout out to Jeremy. Shout out to everybody who's doing their thing. Yes. Shout out to Thug and Gunna for doing that.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, another win for the culture this week. Federal hate crime charges brought against the Ahmaud Arbery murderers. The U.S. Justice Department announced the federal hate crime charges for the 2020 death of our brother. The 3 men faced indictment on 1 count of interference with civil rights and attempted kidnapping, and the father-son duo that were charged with using, carrying, and brandishing a firearm during a crime of violence. The court resumes for this case sometime this month in May.
That's good. Remember when we talked to Devin and I was asking him about that?
Yeah.
So it's good to see that has actually come into fruition. Mm-hmm. Georgia did ultimately pass that hate crime law.
That's right.
So sorry for ya. Shouldn't have been following people that you didn't have no business following.
Yes.
You are not the police no more.
Yes, that is so crazy.
And then they said they were going to do something about the citizen arrest.
Yeah.
We can do more research on it, so we won't be guesstimating.
Right.
But that is something that's been in the talks. of right. the world, of the politics, of a bill that should be being passed. And
we got some talk about that later on in the political updates about things that should have been passed. But, you know, it's cute. We're keeping it cute. Never good news. My girl Jovita is recovering.
That's what's up.
I be just responding and writing all up on the WSB wall.
I be doing that to a lot of people's stuff. Streets 94.5. Hey, y'all see me in the comments.
I know that's right. Me too. Hey, my Asia girl. Hey, girl.
Shout out to her. She's definitely a testament of when preparation meets perfect timing.
Yes.
You've got to be prepared. Like, for sure. She
makes
be prepared.
Me so proud. Girl, shout out to you. Love your story. Been watching you. You know, you make it. You are proof that this grind that we are on is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And a reminder for us to keep it going.
For sure.
For sure. For sure. So, yes.
Kodak good. Black.
Good. Those are good wins this week.
Those are good. Quick wins.
Mm-hmm.
Quick and cute. You know, yes. We're trying to keep it short. Simple and sweet for y'all.
Right, right.
Kodak Black pleads guilty to raping the girl who he was raping, who he said he was raping. Now, I ain't really read this story because then he went back on Twitter and said, had a whole lot to say. So, did he plead guilty or nah? Like,
yes, he did. And I'm looking at my notes. Clearly, I was typing this in the bed this morning and last night. No, I wrote about Kodak Black maybe earlier this week then. And I did not go back and reread this. All right. The rapper was charged with first-degree criminal sexual conduct from an incident involving a teenage girl in South Carolina back in 2016. Back then, Kodak denied all allegations, and we know that he recently served 2 years for an unrelated crime, but during his most recent court hearing, Kodak confessed to biting the girl on her neck and in other places and pushing her on the bed and some other things he did actually admit. To sexual misconduct.
So he basically took a plea deal.
Yeah.
He just has to register as a sex offender?
I believe so. The court ruled a 10-year suspended sentence, and he'll be placed on 18-month supervised state release. What you got? I'm curious as to what you got to say about this.
Nothing. I ain't got nothing to say because this don't got nothing to do with me. The only reason why I was so happy for Kodak Black to get home was because they was doing him wrong when he was in prison.
What do you mean?
Like, they was spiking his drink. He was spazzing out. He had, like, a whole brawl in the jail because they was spiking his drink. They was giving him fucked up food. Like,
solitary confinement.
That's why I was like, good. Thank you for bringing this man home because they trying to kill him up in there.
Why were they trying to kill him?
I mean, hell, he called that black. He got a lot of money.
Haters.
He's in jail. Look at you. You know how these COs do. Y'all know how y'all COs are treating these criminals like this. Like they ain't got a chance in hell to get out.
Yes, that's
y'all
not
need
fair.
To stop doing that.
And there's and the sad part about it is a large majority of the population of COs are black men.
Yeah. And it is, speaking of L's, it was a man in court. The Clayton County CO was the Clayton County CO or officer got some civil rights charges or something
brought against him.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that the institution is just fucked up from every single angle.
It is. However.
But specifically to Kodak Black.
He was still wrong for doing that.
Acknowledging that he raped this girl. And you know what? I'm going to let y'all go because y'all still listen to R. Kelly and y'all be stepping in the name of love and y'all think it's okay. Not you.
At the end of the day, Kodak Black gets a lot of lenience because he's not that old.
Mm.
Like, I don't even think Kodak is 25.
Mm. Yes. Okay.
Oh, that's your alarm.
What? Why am I being up at this time on a Saturday? What am I doing? I do be up early. You see me? 5:45 every day. 4:30 on Sundays.
It's going to be a lot of chopping. Okay, so y'all, in my Facebook scrolling, I came across this article about Amazon workers.
This is crazy.
Reporting negligence of the warehouse, not just here in Atlanta, but also in our little sister state of Alabama. I'm just going to claim it. The people in Bessemer had been talking about them the strict working schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So for you guys wanting to get your package to your dough and you wondering why your package not to your dough, it's probably because your worker is not back in her spot in a certain amount of time. And they have a certain number of times to be back in their spot. They're working along a robot. And it's really, like, strict timing. And I know about this because Anthony used to work there for maybe, like, 2 weeks. And it is very strict timing. However, on the opposite end of that, right, they did research at the Stone Mountain facility. So they built this big-ass Amazon facility in our neighborhood, literally where we grew up, right across the street from All American, where we was twerking when we was younger. Okay, so literally right smacking in the middle of our neighborhood in Stone Mountain, there's nothing but trees. There's nothing but just trees and land and just people live,
all his friends,
like literally deers. Like the neighborhood behind it is called Deer Creek. There are deers that run on those. In the land and in the trees and in those neighborhoods, there's deers everywhere back there. So we cut down where our deer's home for us to build this nice big ass Amazon facility to employ people in our neighborhood or in Georgia, period. That is amazing. Shout out to Jeff Bezos for bringing jobs to Stone Mountain. However, my problem about this is that the state gave them an incentive of $19 million. $19 million to pay these people on average $32,000 a year.
And not everybody that works in the warehouse gets paid that meagerly. But that is the base income for those basic, you know, four working jobs. For the employees, not everybody that works there gets that pay, but still, to employ 300 to
3,000 people. Now I get it; they're probably not working that long. But if you're in a strict, strenuous environment, and your CEO became a billionaire in the pandemic, I think they could come off a little bit more money.
You know what's crazy though? I have a friend that works over there, and I know for sure firsthand because I know how his break cycle goes, and this is how he communicates with me when he's at work. He ain't got no service in the building, so you got to go outside. But the breaks are so short in time, and you're not guaranteed if your production is low for the remainder of your output a break. And 2 weeks ago, Poe Baby was limping because he hurt himself off of a stray piece of wood that was just, strewn in the middle of the walkway at work. Stepped on it. This is first account. I've never worked in a warehouse setting. I know warehouse jobs are tough anyway, but it's a trip over there. Now, he also said that, because he's been in other places, other facilities, and this is, because it's newer, this is, the nicest one, the best upkept one, and it's still not as...
It's the trickle down.
Yeah, it's the trickle down. Absolutely.
It's the trickle down. And Senator Bernie Sanders and Killer Mike have gotten involved behind this because the workers have been so upset that they wanted to create a union to come against this whole thing. And if it's coming down to that, it's just like, damn. My thing, I know this is not my business and I know this has nothing to do with me, but it's in my community. So I'm upset. Don't be bringing 3,000 jobs to Stone Mountain and you can't even help pay them. They making $2,000 a month. That's rent in Stone Mountain.
Yeah, only.
Like, what are people going to be able to do
after that, right?
Like, that is really like a part-time job type of thing. Like, you really have to be having something else if you're going to be doing that. But y'all be careful in these warehouses. I just wanted to make y'all aware of what was going on. My whole problem was with the state giving them that incentive. The economic development of Georgia telling them that this is how much the cap is for these jobs. Why you want to bring jobs to Stone Mountain, South Fulton, and keep us at a cap?
You know why, girl. We know why.
Why y'all want to keep us at a cap?
Why would they not?
Because we know.
Yes.
Y'all know. But I just want to make that aware to you guys that's what's going on. $19 million. Mind you, I have not done the math on this, so if I'm sounding ignorant right now, please come to the show, talk about it, let me know. But I just found a problem with that. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Jeff Bezos. I don't like that. I don't like that.
And that's in our community. Under the guise of, Georgia has created over 3,000 new jobs for people of Metro Atlanta. Except Georgia has created these jobs and also perpetuated an internal sense of poverty because of the amount of that compensation for the jobs that they've created isn't enough for a parent or a family to live off of.
Exactly.
But whatever. Anywho.
Amazon has built the biggest plantation that Stone Mountain has ever had. That's really what they need to be saying, because based on these work conditions that these people talking about. Okay. That's my TED Talk. Thank you for joining. All right. Let's go into the political update.
All right. Okay. So Governor Kemp lifted the remaining COVID-19 restrictions, and that is effective immediately starting today, May 1st, this year, 2021, of our Lord. In his executive order, he lifted the state's restrictions, which include safety restrictions placed on gyms, restaurants, and other businesses that face large crowds. For clarity, there will be no more space requirements or distancing precautions at restaurants. Live music concert venues will be open without restrictions. A lot of the mask limitations will be removed. Now, I just want it also to be known that simultaneously, while this decision has been made, India is facing an extremely devastating
coronavirus outbreak now. It's horrible. And then when we was watching it last night, it's like, damn, picture how we was looking to the rest of the world when our shit was wild.
But
when people was getting the virus by the 100,000 today.
Exactly. Now, and y'all remember, if y'all been rocking with us back in season 1 and season 2, I was coming to y'all like every single week hard and aggressive with these numbers. But let's remember, last year at the beginning of the pandemic, we saw other smaller countries going through exactly what India is going through now.
Mm-hmm.
So if we know that these other countries are experiencing amid the mass distribution of the vaccine, if these other countries who have also been given opportunities to take advantage of the vaccine are facing these types of spikes in numbers, come on, guys, let's not be dumb. We know it's coming back this way, too.
It's definitely on the way back. But Lord Jesus, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because when August comes, my kids will be out the house, period.
We haven't even had a chance to talk about what a post-COVID education system looks like since I've been back in school with the students. I can't believe we haven't talked about this. You should see me look like I can, because you be ghost. That was that side eye right there. But you know, the students, as of...
How has it been, though?
We are not at 100% capacity.
But how has it been with the students?
There are still some cases and instances where there have been some outbreaks. Most commonly around from the teachers and not the students.
Because they be outside doing the most.
Yeah, the students are the ones that are inside because they're living with their parents and their kids. Also, it's only like maybe 2 or 3 students per class. If there are students in person. Mm. The past 2 weeks we did Georgia High School end of course testing, end of grade testing for the middle school and elementary school kids. And the county mandated that the students come back to take it, but the kids didn't come back.
And that's what I don't like. I didn't like that because the county was trying to, and let me choose my words wisely. I don't want to be in trouble.
Right.
However, the county was saying that the students didn't have to come back to school. Well, at first they said, that the students had to come back to school to take the test. Then they said, if the parents want to opt out of them taking the test, then you can opt out of them taking the test.
Now
we taking the MAP test from my house.
Well,
which one was it, Pooh? Was it they had to come back to school and take the test? They can't take it at home? Or you guys are MAP testing Thursday and Friday? Which one was it? Because right now, DeKalb County, I understand you're trying to save your pockets at the expense of my children's knowledge. However, get it together. What is it going to be? Either they're testing or they're not. If you're trying to force the kids, Lord, I'm kissing this mic today. But if you're trying to get the kids back to school, I understand that, but don't do it at the expense of their knowledge. Like, you want them to be testing, and then you don't want them to be testing. And this is coming from a concerned parent, not
any
a
other position that you hold, right? Absolutely.
Period.
Same.
I don't like that. Which one is it?
The name of this episode has to be "I don't like that."
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like DET. I don't like that. Period. I don't like that.
It's so much going on, and you know what? I'm literally on the countdown.
Girl, get up out of there, cuz. Mm-hmm. But President Biden, his first 100 days in office were successful. Shout out to him.
Yes, they were successful. That opinion is taken with a grain of salt, wherever side of the aisle you stand on, because of course it's gonna be naysayers. It's gonna be people that, you know, want to see more. But you know, some great triumphant wins for the administration, the Biden-Harris administration. They support the George Floyd Justice Policing Act, which aims to bolster police accountability by creating a national registry that tracks officers with checkered records and bans the use of chokeholds and other forms of restraint, among some other things. That's good.
That is good.
I think that there are some things that we need to add to the act, but you know what? It's a great start.
Qualified immunity need to be on that act as well.
The House passed that act in March, but the likelihood of it passing in Senate is still up in the air. So we know that the House is a Democratic, you know, majority, and the Senate is evenly split. But if we got some
Democrats that's on the left, on the right.
We got some Democrats that was talking that talk to get elected, but they not walking the walk.
Well, call them out. Y'all need to be calling these folks out.
Well, for example, the Biden administration has yet to sign the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act.
Well, it's not that they haven't signed it. It's that the bill hasn't been passed.
Mm-hmm.
They can't sign it if it ain't been on the floor. It hasn't been made priority. And Dr. Umar has a lot to say about it.
So do a lot of critics. Why has that not been made a priority? Now, we've seen in just a matter of a month, we've seen the anti-hate crime bill for the Asian Americans take place and take off, right?
That's because Mitch McConnell's wife is Asian.
Ooh.
Shots fired. Pew, pew, pew. And that's because the Asians bring money to this. They help. The Asians have helped the economy.
Absolutely.
Within the United States of America.
Absolutely.
We could be helping too.
But we ain't.
But y'all ain't giving us a chance. Mm. So there's that on that.
Now we also know, and you know what? Shout out to Representative Bobby Rush. He's a Democrat from Illinois. He's the one that reintroduced the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act this January. So shout out to him for putting it on his back. Just like how we said earlier, calling out people that ain't doing their job. But for those that are actually out here trying to get it, we thank you. Now, Biden also did stop two major Trump administration immigration policies. I think he did that like within the first week. The construction of the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border and the program that reunited people that are seeking asylum to Mexico to wait for their immigration proceedings.
That man really was building that wall, y'all.
Yeah.
It's literally a...
How do you think that... And, of course, we also know that the administration has made its number one priority being COVID relief. With the, you know, with the relief act, the plans, the checks that are driving the economy, I guess. How do you think that the administration is doing so far?
I think, as far as coronavirus is concerned, they're doing a good job. The vaccine is still up in the air for me. I know I said I was gonna get it, but it's just been a lot of people with these side effects that have been, you know, not doing well afterwards. Even though it hasn't been, you know, long that the side effects are in place, but you know,
I'm thinking of what was the update on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
So they have put it back on the market, I believe, and I think Omar is going to talk about it in the next segment.
Okay.
But I think they're doing pretty good. They have been prioritizing other acts and other things, like, you know, they helping out the transgenders, they helping out other things.
Yeah.
But I think that I want to give him a chance. Mm-hmm. It's only been 5 months, 2 months, 4 months, however many months it's been, 100 days.
3 months. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He made a lot of promises to a lot of people.
Yeah. And it's going to take more time, of course. All of the promises aren't even going to be
fulfilled
within his first term. 4 years seems like a long time until it gets down to getting these bills passed and then rolling out what it looks like and how it's implemented. So, of course, I want to be supportive. I wish that I had, you know, bigger and better trust in our government and in our administration. Trust is something that is built. Trust is something that, like Michelle, you know, the good forever floaters just tells us constantly. It's something that it constantly becomes. So, I'm watching and I'm paying attention.
How have you felt since you've been fully vaccinated?
I have this eye twitch that's crazy, but that I also know that you see it. Y'all see my eye twitching? Can I get a close up on this one right here?
I can't see no eye twitching.
It's going right now, actually.
That you inherited that after the vaccine?
Well, I noticed it. I noticed it. It's been about a month now, and I guess I've been vaccinated for a little over a month. Now, however, see, this is the thing, though. See, people say stuff like that, and then they be like, they forget to say, oh, well, in January, I got my eyes checked, and I know that my eyes have been under extreme strain because I don't take my contacts out, and I don't do what I'm told to do, and so I really need to be resting my eyes and getting glasses. Shout out to you. Thank you. I'm going to have my glasses soon. But, you know, so me saying that I noticed my eye twitching, but not saying, oh, yeah, but I know that I've had X amount of things that contribute to that before me getting the vaccine. People will say that, oh, Brittany got shot. Brittany got the vaccination, and now her eye twitching, you know? And that's not that, that's not necessarily okay. The case.
I know a lot of people at my job, they're saying their loved ones have been getting sick, and they haven't been feeling well.
Mm. I mean, there were immediate side effects. Like, after I got my second, when I was exhausted, I was tired. I thought I was a little congested, you know, for about 24 to 48 hours.
Okay. I'm going to just wait it out a little longer. I feel like I've been doing a good job of swag surfing through Corona. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get the virus yet. So I feel like I don't want to be vaccinated for something that I haven't even gotten.
I mean, but you're vaccinated, so you won't get it, though.
I know. I'm just scared to get for the side effects. But let's go right into the office.
All right.
And now I welcome you to pull up a seat and step into Omari's office with yours truly, oh so lovely.
Welcome back into the office, y'all. It's another lovely Saturday. And it truly is a lovely Saturday. The weather is beautiful. But we're going to keep it going, and we're going to get right into keeping the community connected. So last week, I talked a little bit about how women are speaking out about how they are being affected or having some major after effects due to the COVID vaccine. And I feel like that I just left some questions a little unanswered. So I just feel like it's my duty, because I put the information out there, to make sure that I come back and provide more facts. So like I said, more women who have taken the vaccine rather than women who were exposed have been the people who have been coming out and saying that they're experiencing these irregular menstrual cycles. And when I say that, these women are bleeding more than 7 days. So I saw some testimonies where women are saying that they've been bleeding for 10 days. There was a woman that said that she was on her 25th day. So it does seem that women at a more proportional rate than men are seeing major side effects when they are getting vaccinated. So since these vaccines have been administered, the miscarriage rate has gone up 366%.
That is crazy.
Yes, very crazy. And what's even more alarming, in my opinion, is that the companies that are providing this vaccine, Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, and I was looking at Moderna, but is that the company or is that the people who are...
The brand,
yeah.
That's just like, they're like Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson.
Okay. So I was looking into these companies, and it was just very alarming to me that the CDC has entrusted these companies to make these products, and they have been involved in a lot of legal lawsuits for harming people and also causing cancer.
Especially Johnson & Johnson before the vaccine.
Right.
The talcum powder and all that.
And that's what this says. In October of 2020, Johnson & Johnson agreed to settle more than 1,000 talcum powder lawsuits in middle district litigation and many more in state courts as of February 2021. So basically, they're still under heat. And I was trying to find like specifics as far as Pfizer is concerned, But it wouldn't give me the specifics. It was just saying that they have been mentioned in a lot of legal lawsuits. So you guys just be mindful. Like I said, I'm not the one to tell you or to make that decision for you. I can only make that decision for myself. But just be mindful when you're going out and, you know, just injecting things into your body. Just be mindful of what's going into it and just take heed to this information. You do with it what you will. But okay, we're gonna run that back real quick. We have not covered this segment in a really long time. I feel like it's been probably almost a year. I've been going really heavy with the testing 20s. But there were some things that I saw on social media, child, and I was like, we gotta talk about it. So the Puerto Rican princess and the queen of shade, baby. The Puerto Rican princess and the queen of shade was going at it. Okay, so things got a little tense on Wednesday's episode of the Wendy Williams Show. So Love & Hip Hop star Jocelyn Hernandez, she came on and she made an appearance on the show, and she was supposed to be talking about her show coming back. She has a show on Zeus. It's called Jocelyn's Cabaret. The show is filmed in Miami, I'm assuming.
It's Atlanta. This one is Atlanta.
Okay, so it's in Atlanta. But things just got really heated. Like, first of all, Jocelyn came straight out the gate.
I like Jocelyn, man. Did you watch the interview?
She came straight out the gate.
I watched the whole thing. Now, let's be real.
Now, okay, so while I have to say what was her, what was her issue. Okay, so as soon as she popped up, Wendy was just like, hey, Jocelyn. Like, and she just got straight to it. Look, Wendy, I feel like.
She was giving her, she was like, Miss Wendy.
Yes, she was. It was respectfully Linda. Done. However, Jocelyn's PR, I'm sure they had a big field day because boom, you don't pop an interview off like that.
Like
I
that.
Hate when people come in here, and no shade to anybody who's come in here and have done it. We love all of our guests.
Yes,
let us interview you.
Yes, and that's my thing. Like I feel like she should have allowed Miss Wendy to say whatever she was going to say, to ask her questions. And then if you felt like it was something that you wanted to address, she could have just been like, you know, oh, we had a lovely interview. I might have been nervous. She could have even said, like,
she,
you know, I was nervous.
She could have addressed it at the end. But I feel like we don't know what was going on behind the scenes.
Right.
Apparently, she was yelling. Apparently, she had a conversation with the producer. Mm-hmm. She was arguing with her before she even got on the show.
Really?
Why are publicists? Yeah. So the publicist probably was convincing her, like, you need to go to Wendy Williams. Like, you need to pick. She probably picked her to Wendy Williams. You're going to Wendy Williams. Jocelyn probably like, she always talking bad about me. I don't want this to be that.
Right.
But as soon as Jocelyn sat down and was there, she was compared to someone else. Mm-hmm. So that's what made her like, you know what? I'm going to just respectfully address this. However, let the people interview you.
Yeah. That is a pet peeve as a person in media. When you get on a platform and you've been invited onto a platform to tell your story, it is still that person's show. So let that person help you tell your story.
And I will say, the way they want to help you.
I like Wendy. It's like I feel like I have a love hate for her, because it's like I have so much respect for her, and she's put so many years into the game, but she do be going hard. But I mean, that's her style.
That's her style.
But how dare she be sensitive though? You going in like that and then be having the nerve to be crying every single time somebody talk about your goofy ass.
Yeah, that is true. She went hard, and Jocelyn was like, you gotta give me my flowers. And Wendy, like, she had some, I don't know where the flower came from, but she was like, here go your flower, here are you. I was like,
please show me your shoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wendy was pissed because that took the whole segment. And now you didn't even give me a chance to, quote unquote, give you your flowers. You came on here to promote your show. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that natural conversation, we would have gotten to the fact that your show was number one on Zoom. You know, that you were highly esteemed and welcome to come back.
Right.
But no, you didn't give me a chance to even do that.
To address
you
none of that.
Straight at the cake. Yeah.
She didn't give her a chance to talk about nothing, baby. But I will say that
I think
the issue is, and she did mention this, but being that her career started in reality TV.
Yeah.
I think that now, since, because she's transitioning into being more of a businesswoman, she wants people to respect her, and she does not want all of the crazy shit that she did on Love & Hip Hop to follow her. But I think that that's just something that she also has to take into account. Jocelyn has to realize that no matter how successful you are, people are always going to bring up that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to know how to control the conversation.
Yes.
And she should have allowed the conversation. She should have allowed it to progress genuinely.
However, Jocelyn, we admire your growth.
Yeah,
we love the most way definitely. You addressed it.
Yes,
we love the way
the
you,
passion
you held yourself.
She handled it like a woman.
We love the way you articulated yourself.
Yes. Correct.
We love the growth. We see
we
the
see
content.
You see you.
We see you becoming an executive producer.
We see you. We see you being right. a business
you.
Guru, your business, your fitness, you know,
yeah.
stuff.
We see you.
Absolutely.
Keep going.
Keep
doing
going.
What
great.
You're doing. Mom. Stay
keep
focused.
Being a positive influence
right.
for your daughter.
That's
yeah,
right.
Just
yeah.
keep going. Fuck Wendy. Yeah.
And you are, and you, right, and you are by all means a Puerto Rican princess girl. We love Jocelyn Hernandez.
Yes, yes. Hold it down. As long as you ain't acting crazy.
And go
and
back
if
to
you
the strip
wanna
club.
Come up here and Rancho Rant at
okay.
the plug ATL.
You are
Jay,
more than
come
welcome.
On
come on, girl.
You are more than welcome. And since we're keeping the energy going, y'all, we got to bring it back to the city, okay? Because the girls were upset on Twitter. They were mad. They were pissed. When Lil Baby, he previewed his little sneak peek and released that Megan Thee Stallion was going to be the new feature on the On Me remix, baby. And the girls were pissed because they said it should have been Amaretta. Like, are y'all familiar with her?
Yeah.
I'm sure Brittany probably was like,
I think Amaretta just need to go.
Shame.
I think Amaretta
you know,
is.
I was just about the mouth like.
Amaretta is someone who you've definitely seen. She freestyles from the phone,
mm-hmm.
and you know she's put a lot of freestyles out there. I've never really heard an actual song of hers. I'm
yeah.
not sure if she has anything out there. I will have to do my research
uh-huh.
on that. However, I feel like that move was kind of like a label thing or like a type of thing. Like Amaretta, the song. This is Little Baby,
right?
Okay. Him and Meg Thee Stallion have been going like. At it all year
mm-hmm.
with these awards.
Yeah.
She's been taking them down. She's been, you know,
yeah.
it was only right as far as a label corporate move.
Right.
And that's
to make
what,
the song bigger to put Meg Thee Stallion
that's the
on
conversation
it. I see
that
why
I was
they
having.
Did it.
She, Megan was more marketable. Megan
right.
provides more of a sex appeal. And not to say that Amaretta is not beautiful because she is. Look like
this child up.
When I tell you she is fine.
A
really.
Beautiful black.
Yes.
Beautiful,
beautiful
brown
chocolate,
skin,
like
chocolate.
She is
girl,
she's
beautiful.
Hard.
Yeah,
like,
she go hard.
But,
and she does rap.
And she got the bars, no doubt. But I do
maybe,
think
maybe
I agree with what Aisha was saying.
For Amaretta would be to come on the show.
It
Amaretta,
could be.
Welcome. Come on, slide in the DM, or maybe
she
we'll hop
come.
In yours.
However, I do want to say this, Amaretta, you gotta crawl before you walk.
Walk.
Like,
yeah.
put a tape out, put videos out, put stuff out. Like, you can't keep rapping from the bed.
And I think she did
how
just put.
Gonna...
I saw a video. I don't know if it's. I just saw it on social media. I haven't really went and listened to the whole thing or looked at the whole video, so I don't know if it's a whole song or if it was just something that she was putting out. Because I know she released that. After she found out that she wasn't going to be on the song, because she probably was thinking because everybody was pushing so hard for her on
that
social media
happen.
That it could possibly happen.
And that's not, there's not to say that Lil Baby
that it won't, right?
Because she's a fire-ass artist and she
yes.
can really rap. Like, I could see her and Lil Baby having another good song outside
right.
of a
so
song.
So we gotta get her in the studio.
She, you just gotta be in their face more, Pooh.
Yeah.
You gotta get in their face,
grinding,
put some budget
going.
Behind it.
And
get
that's
out,
what I was finna
get
say.
Get out the bed, get out your bonnet.
I do feel like I want to make mention of the fact that I do think that sometimes that there are talented female artists, whether they be rappers or singers, and I do think that sometimes that they do get overlooked.
Mm.
Like Aisha said, I do think that she just kind of, you know, not to say that she has not been putting in work.
You just have to present
but,
yourself
yeah.
differently. Like, you can't do, like, you got to present yourself differently. You got to make people
take
you
serious.
Yeah.
Your raps are great, but we not take, people aren't going to take you serious until you, like, put the budget behind it.
Yeah.
Even just like us, hell, we get in this room now.
Right.
Now they know.
They get in the room.
It's
now
serious.
Okay.
Okay.
So, you look like money.
Period.
But we support you, sis. I'm definitely a fan.
We do. Just good criticism. And
yeah, I'm definitely a fan.
For sure.
But that's all I got for today. I was going to keep it real cute, you know.
It's a cute day.
It is
real
cute.
Oh, boy. And I'm slipping on my pimping again because product placement. But anywho, we're going to go ahead and close it out real cute, you know. Thank you for always visiting with me in the office. Make sure y'all follow me on Instagram. I can be found at _ohsolovely. And listen, Linda, listen. You can get 40% sis and bro. 40%. Click the link in the bio. It's on Instagram, baby. Go get your kids. Okay, you see these teeth? Don't play with her. Do not play with her. And I'm not trying to play with you. I'm not trying to play with you. So y'all listen. Tell your friend to tell a friend. Tell your mama, your daddy, your cousin, whoever. Go get the link. Get your kit. 40% off. It works. It works. It's a great product. But anywho, as always, remember to stay grounded. Understand that you get what you need when you need it. And when you're in your own lane, baby, there is no traffic.
Tsunami. Introducing Tsunami Wave Surfers, handcrafted in Italy, drop ship directly to your door. To get a pair, hit the link in the bio right now.
Tsunami.
Wave, surf, splat, tsunami. Big drip, Italian leather and sway. Lead away.
Wave, surf, splat, tsunami. Wave, surf, splat, tsunami.
Tsunami.
Male perspective guest, friend to the show, he's back. Jerry King, Jay King, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Jerry, you can sing.
I do a little bit.
You can rap.
I do a little
bit. That be killing me when people really be talented. They be like, I do a little bit.
I do a little something. Jerry,
I'm passionate.
Jerry be putting his Eric Bellinger hat on.
Okay, Eric Bellinger.
Okay, I think that's a great, you know, comparison there.
I appreciate
okay?
that.
R&B fun. Heads, real R&B heads, know the deal.
Yeah.
Jerry, I'm here for it. You nasty too, but we just gonna let that one slide. Anyway. So, as usual, for the male perspective segment, we like to talk about different topics and we try to get, you know, across the aisle and see what the other sex is talking about. This is a very interesting topic. I'm not for certain if you've heard about the Black Lives Matter organization, the women that are involved with the founding and of the organization Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the movement.
Okay.
But the actual organization, Black Lives Matter, has been accused of having a subliminal mission to deconstruct or reorganize the black family structure.
Okay.
Have you heard of that?
I haven't heard of it.
Have you guys heard talks about that before? I feel like I mentioned it.
We talked about
two.
The
yeah.
organization being different from the movement, but we've never gotten a chance to talk about it on the show.
Oh, okay. So in quick synopsis, people have been saying that the organizers of the BLM organization, they are, what's the word?
Deconstructed.
Nope. It's just floating all in front of my head. Damn. People have said that the two founders, they're gay women, which doesn't really matter until we bring it into play a little bit later. But they speak about how they want to, it's inclusion for everyone except for inclusion for the black man. When they talk about the family structure, you know, we talked about same-sex rights and things like that earlier off the air. And some critics are saying that the organization itself has foundation in deconstructing like the black family structure that includes the black man and the black woman and the black child.
Like all together.
Right. Like removing the black man from the household.
But that's always been an objective.
For ulterior society, you know, organizations outside of black culture, right? Okay, so this conversation. So a Twitter user who is aligned with one of the founders of Black Lives Matter organization made this statement. Women should raise families together even if you're not attracted to other women. The thread sparked an interesting Twitter debate that left folks split on the notion of removing black males from the family structure and replacing the male's presence or influence with other women. So the tweet that brought everybody to this point says, I promise it's worth it to take a moment to deconstruct the standards of a family. Consider co-parenting with your friends. Look up compound living, etc. We can really imagine and implement a new way of life. Most men truly can do nothing for us.
Mm.
And women often worry about the future, their family, etc. Just because you're not gay doesn't mean that you can't have the other people and the women in your life that give a fuck about your well-being.
Yeah, y'all ready for more?
I
go
cannot
ahead.
Wait.
All right, so I disagree with that statement almost wholeheartedly.
Yes.
The reason why is because that mindset, the statement implies a mindset that we are complicit with where we are with the family dynamic as it stands, and we want to move forward from that instead of fixing it. So like economically, if you have a man and a woman together, you have the man going out in the world doing what he does, you have the woman going out in the world, they procreate, make a family, and multiply so that they have resources for their community.
Right.
When you have two women, economically, you can both have jobs and stuff like that, but you can't procreate together. So it's like, it kind of dwarfs the black family. You can't you can't do that.
Right.
So I believe in like community and having your friends help you out and stuff like that, but completely Xing out the black man, I'm not here for that at all.
Me either.
I was just about to say that it's one thing to say like, oh, outside of, okay, you have this family unit inside of your home, but outside of your household, you also have your village. It's one thing to say that, but then to turn around and say, like, we just don't need the black man at all, like, that's totally different, because coming from a woman's perspective, even if a couple has a daughter, like, a daughter still needs her father just as much as a son needs his father. So the black man definitely, or just men in general, the man in the household in general, has a lot to offer to the family. So that's crazy. I can't even believe that somebody had an opinion like that.
Yeah.
Wait till I give y'all the more, but I want to hear.
I feel like they're just robbing the child of that opportunity of having that male figure. Like, you making that decision for them, and that's just not fair. Especially for me, even me as an only child, like, I didn't live with my dad, but my dad was still present in my life. And
right,
still
me too.
Is present. And he played a big role in my life. Did I allow my mom to bring other men in the house? Hell nah.
You've been blocking on your mama.
Big cop block energy coming over here. And I was the only child who.
Your mom could have been handling
it.
She won't.
And I give my mama hell, and that's just what it's going to be, period. She don't need no man. She don't need none of that. However, I need that male presence in my life, and I feel like kids need that male presence in their life coming from a child. You know what I'm saying? Also, my kids, they have a great relationship with their father. Even if I wasn't with him anymore, I would not like want to replace him with y'all.
Right.
Like, y'all play the role that y'all play in their
aunties,
lives
in the
as of who you are, and he plays a role in their life as of who he is. So,
and, but I think the point of it is, yes, like, the way that I could relate with your kids is different than the way that you could relate, because they came from you.
Yeah. Right.
And the way that they could relate to their dad is different than how they can relate to any other man, because they came from Anthony. Right. Like, so, you know, like, it's just, you can't just take that part of them away.
Now let me give to round out the argument and to make it clear, like, this is I too believe that there is an importance that there is no black family structure without the black male, period.
Right.
You know, I think that's important to say. But these women that were defending this notion were also pointing out black women have been raising children on their own for a decade, which is true, but we also see we could go down in history, right?
Yeah.
We know that our men were drafted. We know that during slavery, our men were ripped away from their families, and they were taught or brainwashed to think that they were only good to produce, right? And they would be sold to the next plantation to create another,
like an animal,
right? Okay, so we know that our black men were also forced to enlist and serve in the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. We know that they were killed, so they were serving, so they were absent from the home. We know that when they came back, they were absent from the home because they did not have resources available for their jobs, and we know that they didn't get health care or mental health care
resources
offered to them, so that killed them off, that turned them to drugs, which also kept them out of the house.
Right.
You know, we know that they fell victim to the pipeline, to mm-hmm. drugs, to gang life, which also killed them off and removed them from the house. And so in their absence, black women have stood the test of time. Black mamas, aunties, grandmama, big mama and them, creating this community and raising their children. Now, at the same time, we also see, granted, thank you to the big mamas out here that have been holding it down.
Right.
But we've also seen the type of generation that is created in the absence of the black man.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And look where we are now.
Exactly.
That's a fact. I want to say one thing, too, just to give context. Like, I come from a family of five, right? Like, I'm the oldest of five siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was present up until a certain point. So I've had a male figure in my life, but my youngest siblings, like, he wasn't around for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't around for my youngest siblings. And I have a little brother. He's 18 now. And when I look at him, I was actually looking at his Facebook the other day. And you know how you see a little kid, like, on Facebook, it's like, where do you work? How old are you? What school do you go to?
Mm-hmm.
He started his Facebook when he was, like, 8 or 9 or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Generation B kids.
You know? And I'm looking at his Facebook, but, like, all of his information was my stuff. Like, he went to Druid Hills High School. He worked where I worked in high school. You know what I'm saying? So, like, seeing his perception, he wanted to be me because I was the man that he saw in his life. And now fast forward to him being 18, like, he's a rapper right now, but he made manages his own business. So like he owns his master's.
Good.
He's
receiving
his own royalty checks, but he's doing that because he saw me the way that I move. And it's like, okay, what happens if he only had my mom as an influence?
Wow.
Like my mom's a strong black woman. She raised us, right? We have a great influence, but we're, you know, that male influence is important just being there. Mm-hmm. So I want to say that. And then the other thing too, when you were talking about like systematically how males have been removed from the household and women were raising families, look at the welfare system.
Yeah.
Like women are incentivized financially to not have a male in the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it kind of perpetuates that cycle.
Absolutely.
So I just want to leave it there, but that's crazy. I think we need black men in the
Absolutely.
House.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just it's just so funny because it sounds like a lot of the women that were citing and the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement got into the Twitter battle too, and they were definitely in defense of creating this woman utopia, woman raising all the children, period. But how are we gonna get the kids? You gonna go to the man, get the man's egg, seed, and then X him out the picture from that? That's crazy. But all I'm seeing is reading these tweets. Damn, the hurt. The hurt is just on
and
y'all.
And that's
lady.
What I was about to say. Like,
let that
hurt go.
Yeah.
And I think that is the beautiful thing about this world is you're a man and we're women. But even in this room, in our producer back here, we love you. She's a part of our team. But everybody in this room has a different perspective.
Yes.
Everybody in this room has a different journey. So how I see things is not how you're going to see it, and vice versa. That's the beautiful thing about the world. If we remove the black man and we're saying that we're only going to give our children and their children and their children just one side of it, we're robbing them.
Yes.
We are robbing them. And that is so, and it's just like, I don't understand how anybody can even take on that opinion or that perspective and be in the world today.
Now, what say you to the women that choose to remove the male influence from their or the paternal male influence from their children's life because of their own disagreement or situation, circumstance with the father? Like, given a scenario, oh, I've raised my child and kept her father's identity and everything attached to her father's side, you know, in secret. What disservice does that do to your child?
I think you need to add on the fact that you keep the children away from your child by choice. Because the father is the difference between the father doesn't want to be in the life and the father is trying to be in the life.
But not in your life.
But not in your life.
Right. But in the
so
child's life.
To the people whose fathers do not want to be in the child's life, I'm so sorry for that. I hope that you can find some solitude in that. And if you have to do what you have to do to raise your child on your own, do what you have to do. If you want to go and find, get your groove back, do what you got to do. My mama couldn't, but
that's
if
crazy.
You need to, go ahead. However, for the women who have men that want to be in their child's life,
allow that
yes. And shame on you for blocking that. Yes, situations happen. Yes, he hurt your feelings. Yes, he hurt your
but
what
it ain't about you
about your could have been.
It ain't
you know
about
we could have been here, we could have been this, we could have been married. It's not about your could have been, it's about that child.
Yes.
And if you have a black man that's wanting to be in that child's life, let him.
But you think I feel like another thing too, like what people have to realize is at the point when you decide, okay, I'm going to keep this child, I'm going to bring this child into the world, that is a different responsibility. At the end of the day, it is no, the focus is no longer about you. And I'm not even a parent and I understand that. I would never stand in, like Aisha was saying, I would never stand in the way of, you know, if it came down to it and I was in that position, I would never do that because I know, like for me, my situation was similar to yours, even though my parents were not married. Like my dad has always been in my life, but I've never physically lived in the home with him. But I understand that yearning because there have been moments where I wanted him to be there and he could not be because, you know, he had his own things going on. You know, like my dad was unfortunately one of those people who got caught up in the system. But one thing that I tell my dad still to this day that I'm so proud of him because he did not allow his past to determine his future. My dad fought to get all of that stuff cleaned off of his record. He has a CDL license. He's opening his own business. Like you can come back from these types of things. And that's what I need people to understand. Like, don't just completely just wipe the black man off, because I feel like that that's been something that they have been saying for years. Like, nobody cares about the black man. Nobody is defending the black man.
Do you feel like that as a black man? Do you feel like you are on an island on your own in defense of yourself?
In a way, yes, but there's microcosms everywhere. And what I mean is that, like, you have a group of black women that protect black men, advocate for black black men, but it's kind of like a small group. But in the grand scheme, like, as a black man, when we walk out the house, we have to be strong physically, emotionally, mentally. We have adversities that we have to face, and don't be successful breaking down barriers, entering rooms that other black men haven't predominantly been in. You know, like, as a financial advisor,
I was about to say, this is personal experience with your profession, I'm sure.
Yeah, when I walk into a room, being a financial advisor in general, to pass that test is kind of like passing the bar. Like, it's, I think the attrition rate is like 40%.
Wow.
So, like, black, white, Indian, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. Like, that's a hard bar to cross. And then being in that room, historically, it's like nepotism. So you got old white families that have been doing this for generations. Mm-hmm. So in my firm, in the city, I'm one of like 17 out of like, I don't know, 500 advisors.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying? And so the culture of the workplace is different. Like, people don't understand your background and what you've been through. So that's a whole thing. And then just in the world in general, you know, like, yeah, it is hard to be a black man, but the ones of us who are stepping up and doing stuff, I think that we have the power to kind of shift that dynamic if we collaborate with our black women and we do things like how we're supposed to.
Yeah.
And I want to say something about when y'all were talking about, like, the family dynamic and, like, don't X out the black man. Mm-hmm. When you have, sometimes you have dads that, like, didn't want to have a child.
Yeah.
And they kind of fall back. And I feel like, as a black woman, that's a hard decision to make, to be like, all right, let me stay away from this guy because he's not supporting my child, right? I think it's a difficult balance. You want to keep that access to him whenever he's ready.
If he decides, yeah.
And the child is ready. But I think the self-work comes in to be able to have men around you, platonic relationships, family relationships that you value and they value you, so that your child can see how a man moves.
Yes.
You know, so, like, it's important to have good, sustainable friendships, like platonic ones. And I think that comes from inside. Mm-hmm. And it's a bigger conversation than just baby moms, baby daddy, like that.
And that's it, right? Godfather, yeah. Brother, cousin.
Yeah.
But also the trust has to be there as well, because we also see, you know, the negative side of that, where maybe your village might be too big and you can't fully trust people, and then we have people that are disrespecting, you know, the child, and you know what I'm saying? I'm sure that, hell, that's a fear that every parent has.
That's a fact, yeah.
You know, but that's still something that our communities are plagued with.
That's real. And I mean, I think a lot of this stuff comes back to, like, internally, what kind of work are we doing as people to be quality people?
Ooh, the accountability talk.
Yes. You know?
And,
yes.
And attract quality people.
Right. Yes.
You know, like, if we bonding because we drinking at the bar and stuff, that's cool. But what type of energy does that bring outside of that?
Right. Does that bring to my kids and all of those type of things? You got to watch who you keep around your kids.
That's right. Right.
So, yeah, you got Uncle Nim.
But what's Uncle Nim doing?
But if Uncle's a drunk, is that the influence that you want to have around your child?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You got to be careful.
So got to be well-rounded, you know?
Yeah.
That's real, though.
That was a good conversation.
I thought it would be well appropriate for Jerry to talk to us about it. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate y'all having me for that, because that's real. I just want to reiterate, love on y'all black men, okay?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, yeah, I will.
we out here, you know, there are a lot of us that are out here that's, like, you know, good dudes that love our community. So y'all make sure y'all show y'all black men some appreciation today.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Rub a man, rub your man beard today, y'all.
Yes.
Put your she was about to say rub a man.
I was going to say rub a man. Rub your man's beard today.
Shout out, because you know what? It's black men that are actually doing the job and willing to do the job that other black men couldn't do. It is stepdaddy season out here, y'all. Goodbye.
All right. Jared, do you have anything for us?
Anything
that you would like to get our perspective on?
Yeah, right.
Ooh. Well, you weren't here for the last one when I was asking about perspective and all that. But the conversation that we had shed a lot of light as far as, like, women and like their expectation when you're talking and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I learned a lot from Isha and Britt was that when you spend a lot of time and you focus on a woman, mm-hmm. like it makes her feel like that means interest in moving forward.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Whether you communicate that verbally or not. Mm-hmm. So I guess I want to get your perspective. Like, what's your line? What's the indication for you when you're talking to a dude and it's like, okay, let's move to that next level? Is it the amount of time? Is it how much attention he's giving you? Is he saying it verbally that makes you go, let me go? Like, where's it at for you?
Oh, I'm in the hot seat.
Yeah, you are in the hot seat. The real hot seat.
Okay, so I feel like that this is actually perfect because I kind of just came out of that phase. So I'm in a new relationship. And prior to meeting my boyfriend, I was actively dating. But I feel like for me, the most important thing that I wanted was, number one, time. Number two, attention. And number three, support. Being that the situation that I had come out of previously, that long-term relationship, I personally, and, you know, he may have other feelings, but I personally feel like that one thing that I was lacking in that relationship, number one, support. Number two, I definitely had to do the inner work. I had to take some accountability for some things. But I feel like just as a woman, when it comes down to just the bare minimum, if a guy is giving me the time and attention, consistency, but if we're only dealing with each other,
exclusivity
is important to me as well, because I feel like that shows the type of seriousness. But time, I feel like that is just one thing in itself.
That's why
to me, I feel like if you if I'm giving you my time, because I'm telling you, number one, that means that regardless of all of the things that I have going on, because I'm a busy woman, if I'm giving you my time, that means that I'm being intentional. And if you're doing the same, then
I'm
in my language,
you're
doing the same thing. You're reflecting what I'm doing. So I would imagine that we're moving forward. We're moving in a manner to where we're trying to actively and seriously pursue each other.
I can see that. Let me ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
Is a conversation necessary though? Because like I understand that like if I'm giving you time, you're giving me time, that you would think
right
that means, hey, I'm serious and I want to move forward. But
right,
at what point does the conversation come in, or does it happen?
Now, I do think that conversation and communication is important as well, and that was one thing that I also had to work on after taking the time and healing from my last relationship prior to getting into this one. I had to be mindful of the fact that this time around, be upfront, be honest and open. Don't leave out nothing. Put your expectations on the table. Make sure that he does the same, because that's important. Because you cannot go into a situationship or whatever or relationship, whatever. You can't go into anything blind, because that is ultimately going to lead you
blind
to disappointment, because you can't think that somebody can read your mind. So you have to talk. I think that conversation should be like early on in the situation. Like check-ins are important, because that is one thing that I'm learning as well. You have to talk, and I think that is something that keeps the relationship healthy. And I think that also adds on to the longevity of the relationship when you have those honest and hard conversations that sometimes we don't want to have.
That's real.
Yeah. I got a question though. So, because I know we was talking about this in the DMs. Steve Harvey had a comment this week because you said, going back to the
platonic friendships, why it's important.
Steve Harvey said he can't, well, in an older interview, he said he doesn't have any friends that are women, because men usually go to the gutter with women, you know. Do you think that's true with all men?
I think that that's 100% true, but everything comes with context. Here's what I'm saying. If you have a woman as a friend and she's attractive, as a man, I don't care what kind of man you are, if she's attractive, you have thought about what it would be like to have some sort of a intimate something with her, whether it be kiss, sex, whatever, right? That's a fact. That's how men think. Like, you don't have, it's not up for debate right there. But the thing is, you can't just have those friends. And the thing is, you gotta, like, they gotta be y'all friend. You gotta have a friend with your lady. You know what I'm saying? I was having this conversation the other day because of the Steve Harvey thing. You can't have individual friends, because the thing is, about it is, if I have a friend, a female friend, and we might have crossed the line, I might have thought about crossing the line. At the point that I have a girlfriend, a wife, I'm in a relationship, I have to make a choice. Either I tell her about the details of this friend, or I don't tell her about the details of this friend. And one of two things will happen. There's no gray area there, but sometimes we live in that gray area. If I do tell her, then I got to tell her all the lines that I done crossed and all that shit, and I have to let her be comfortable
with.
Gotta
let the cat out the bag.
Exactly.
You know what? I've seen this effectively done, and kudos to my friend. My friend is married. This is, a guy friend. He is married. He's in a relationship. Of course, he's in a healthy relationship with his wife. Him and I have gotten a lot closer, right? And so recently, he started, hey, did you want to grab a bite to eat? I'm going to have my wife meet us. You know?
You got to do that.
And I respect it. Now, this is cool because I actually, the wife is cool. You know, we all went to Georgia Southern.
Right.
So this is a great you know how us Georgia Southern folk do. Yeah. But without it being said, I peeped what had been done. And I completely respect it. He and I have a platonic friendship. And I can't speak for him, because I have not had those types of thoughts. But whatever was required or necessary for him to maintain healthy communication lines and respect for his relationship, I peeped, when we hang out, sometimes the wife comes, or he brings the wife, or, you know, now we got a group chat together where, you know, we communicate together. And hey, that's the way it's supposed to be done. Respect.
Yeah.
Kudos for it. Shout out to y'all. Y'all come to the job. I appreciate y'all.
I got platonic friends. I ain't thinking about sex with them.
Yeah.
A lot of homeboys out there. Shout out to y'all. And I hope y'all not thinking about sex with me. Because it ain't happening. But it's... go ahead.
I feel like that it's outside of... Because my dad is like my homie. Like, I'll hit my dad up and ask him, you know, and have conversations. But I don't always want to call my dad to get his opinion on certain things. So I do think that it's important for a woman to have some type of male figure in her life, because you always gonna get, sometimes as women, when we go through things and we turn to our girlfriends and we have the conversations, sometimes your girlfriends are your yes man, because you'll be on the phone and I will
yes,
say, and
girl,
I
was, you yes. ain't wrong for that. You better live your life. You better make him earn you, sis. Ain't that ass getting fat? Don't be working about that.
I will be 100% honest. Like, me and my friends, we do that for each other. When it's fuck that nigga, it's fuck that nigga. Yes. But when you love him, girl, we love him. I'm sorry.
I don't go to my friends for relationship advice.
No more. At this point, I have grown to understand that there has to be boundaries, and you can't allow your friends into your relationship. Like, I feel like my friends know the bare minimum, and I like to know the bare minimum at this point, because I feel like that I don't ever want to form an opinion of somebody just solely based off of what
you
one
said,
one person is saying.
Because you could be over there going off the yin yang as well,
and not telling me that,
and not telling me.
That's on top of the fact that if your friend tell you something and then you harbor them feelings, it's hard to let that shit go.
Because your friend gonna forgive him because he love him.
That's the issue about family too.
Yeah.
is the issue about friends and family.
See, when your man do wrong, that's your man. You love him and he's providing that D for you. So when you can get over it, you gonna get over it.
But everybody else probably won't.
Absolutely.
But I really do. I think that it is a man, from a man's perspective, I think that it's important for them to have female friends. But I do, if they're in a relationship, absolutely, it should be our friends, not just my friends. But yeah, you got to get the different sides of it, because I mean, I think it's just healthy. And if you have friends that are in healthy relationships, sometimes your friends could be like, "Hey, man, you fucking up."
Yeah.
Or, "Hey, sis, you fucking up.
You need to do better."
Yeah. Right.
And I feel like it's levels to that shit. Like, you have to be able to grow emotionally to be able to have that difficult conversation.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's let's be real. Sometimes you might have a opposite sex friend and nothing happened, but it's kind of a little, you don't really know what that energy is, but you don't want to say it to your significant other.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to grow, you know, emotionally and be like, yo, this is where we at.
The energy. It'd be the energy. It'd be the,
you know,
the energy.
You don't know quite what it is, but it's like,
the energy tells it all.
Yeah.
Let me be quiet because I don't want it to. Jerry, thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Yes.
We're going to put you back in rotation. Let the people know what you got going on again.
Man, so many things. First and foremost, I'm a financial advisor, so if y'all have any questions about finance, money, growth, anything with a dollar sign, hit me up. I'm accessible on Instagram, wherever. I do have a pressure washing company, Altouris Pressure Washing. We do residential and commercial work, so if y'all know anybody or y'all need pressure washing done, hit us up. We'll have our technicians out there. I do have a podcast as well. It's kind of like this. It's about 30. We talk about stuff kind of like this. I have a
The man home. Got so many jobs.
Yeah, he's like, he ain't Jamaican.
Hey, you know, I might be. I need to check that ancestry.com. You know, I might be. And then I have a couple YouTube channels. So, like, satisfying videos on the pressure washing side. And then, like, motor vlogs, life vlogs on the personal side. That's what I got going on.
Absolutely.
What's your Instagram?
Instagram is @j.king__. And I do a segment every Monday called Get Money Monday where I talk about financial stuff. So if y'all scared to talk to me, just chime in on the Get Money Monday and I'll get y'all right.
And drop the About 30 IG too.
So About 30 is About BOUTTHIRTY on all platforms. That's YouTube, Spotify, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Like, follow us and we'll get you right there too.
Absolutely. Always, as always, Jerry, it's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure being here. Y'all got to get me back on the show. Like, I like this.
We need to come on, y'all.
Jerry tried to become a permanent member.
I'm just kissing the mic.
You are kissing the mic.
It's horrible, but I want to come on yours, too. I want to
I want to go on somebody else's podcast. Okay,
yes. Let's set that up.
Say less. We're going to set that up.
Please. Absolutely. All right, y'all. Just a quick second before we transition. I do want to let you all know Mother's Day is approaching. And it is time to go ahead and stock that wine cabinet collection right now.
Period.
If you're looking for the latest red wine to add to your selection, make sure you go to girlsjustwannaunwind.com and use our discount code DON'TSLEEP to get a special 15% discount off of your purchase. The Mama Needs a Break special red blend wine is perfect for next Sunday's Mother's Day festivities or to carry you all the way out through white toenail season, okay?
Get your white toenail.
make sure that you shop it up. Make sure that you support this black woman owned business and get your drink on because it is 18% and that 18% does hit a little bit different.
Sip slow, sis.
Yes, thank you. The inspirational food for thought this week. I'm not even going to lie to y'all. You guys, it has been a chaotic, crazy mess in my life. And I am using the previous inspirational food for thought messages to get myself through it.
That's okay.
I'm acknowledging that I am surrounded by a sea of chaos. But I'm also acknowledging that I, too, actually forgot that I hold the peace right here in my own heart, which is what we've been speaking about all semester, all season long. I think that is definitely a seasonal theme in my own life. So it's just a reminder for me, hey, the peace is on the inside. I'm doing something different. I want to ask you guys, how do you reconnect with your peace in the midst of your chaos?
Me?
Yeah.
Music.
Music. Atmosphere setting. And for you?
I will say the same. Definitely music. I have been trying to get more into the word. So I'm using my Bible app more. But sometimes it's literally just a quiet ride in the car. Turn the radio off and let the windows down. You know, just get some fresh air and just allow those thoughts, whatever they are. If I need to have a moment in the car, if I need to cry, you know, whatever that may be. Like, I just allow myself to have that moment. So.
Since you're still sitting here with us, Jerry, what about you? How do you connect with that piece?
I'm a nerd, man, so I like checklists.
Yeah.
If I got to organize it, get it out on paper.
You're not a Virgo, are you?
I'm an Aries.
Oh, okay.
Second day Aries, but if that means something else. But yeah, checklist. Get it out, and then I can see it, and then I'm calm.
Mm. You know, you mentioned riding in the car in silence, and I can't, let me rephrase this. If I'm riding in the car with no music or any other, you know, distraction or sound besides the sound of the road, I can't get too far without talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. the silence just truly just demands to be mm-hmm. recognized. But that's something that I've been trying to remind myself of, because it's going to be chaos regardless. I'm thankful that I'm going to get a quick little skate out of town to celebrate my daughter's birthday, and it's also going to double to reset my own mind. And thank God for the things that he's doing, the things that he's done, and the things that he's got coming. I just need all the prayers and positive energy, you know, to keep it going, to keep the smile on my face, so that I can keep my glass full and I can make it through the sea of chaos.
We got you.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, guys. We're not going to hold you all. It's been a great show. We love you as always. Make sure you use all of our discount codes. Get your teeth together.
Yes.
Get your slutty merch, slutty vegan merchandise.
Yes.
And go ahead and get your drink on. Y'all also can shop it up with us.
Yes.
Put the eShop and Drop link in our bio.
Please.
And go ahead and get your crop top. Get your Nightmare Radio Season 2 bootleg tee with all of our beautiful faces on it. Get your shorts. Get your socks.
I actually got the shirt in the car.
Get
Why
your bucket
and
the
in?
Mop. Get whatever you need, okay?
Not your bucket and your mop for this. Wow.
Hey. Hello.
But yes, thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to tune in with us next week. We have Lex from Urban Essence coming
can't
in.
Wait. Absolutely.
So it's going to be a great show next week. Don't sleep.
And we got some other Georgia Southern hitters coming through, because, you know, the West Side came and had their thing.
Oh, Lord. State not
Southern. It ran amok in the studio.
Southern not state, you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. Southern not state. My bad. No shade. Anyway, don't sleep. It's Nightmare Radio.
Bye, y'all.
All right. Okay.